I'm Steve Potter, and coming up on Cityscape, artist Marilyn Bradley. Her watercolors depict many iconic St. Louis landmarks, both famous and infamous. But first, the final Ring Cycle opera, Götterdämmerung, opens tonight for a two-week run. Director Karen Poe Miller is back with us this year. Hi, Karen. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
And hello to soprano Alexander Lobianco. Hi, Lexi.
Hey. How are you?
And welcome to tenor Clay Hilly.
Hi. Hi.
Karen Poe Miller, this is the conclusion of a four-year journey for you and some of the cast, or is it all of the cast, or most of the cast?
Well, we have many cast members that have been in other operas. Now, Brunhilde doesn't show up until the second opera, so Lexi and I have been working together for 3 years. There are a couple of cast members who have been with us since the beginning in different roles.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lexi and Clay, what's it like for you as performers to be part of an ongoing project like this when you've come back at least, you know, a year or two?
I've never done it. You know, it's rare that a singer of my age gets to do something like this. And so this will be my first time doing a Ring Cycle. And there aren't many operas like the Ring Cycle where there would be an occasion to come back and continue along the same character path as a prior engagement. And so for me, it's a dream come true that I could do this at such a young age. And thanks to Scott and Union Avenue for taking a risk on a young guy to do a real big dramatic role like this. So to me, it's been quite a lot of fun. I've learned a whole lot, and I've had a lot of support from Karen and Scott.
And that's Scott Schoonover, of course.
Scott, our maestro.
Right. Lexi, what about you?
It's extraordinary. Echoing what Clay just said, but there is nothing else in the operatic repertoire that is like this, where you can come back and do a role in a different format 3 years in a row, 4 years in a row. To get an opportunity to start working on Brunhilde as young as I am, I'm a little older than Clay, but not much. This is a lifetime journey. This is not a one-stop shot. This is a beginning of a lifetime journey to learn and grow these roles. But to have the opportunity at this age and this environment that is so supportive and is safe is extraordinary.
And Karen, of course, you've been with it through the whole run.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have. It has been a challenge and honor to work with this material and deepen inside the piece. I have learned so much also about Wagner, and it's the score is so rich. Coming back to this musical material every year has been kind of like coming home. And so it's been a wonderful adventure.
Has that been difficult in any way to kind of pick up where you left off?
That not so much, because I actually have to work on it for about half of every year. So it's always brewing, you know, in my mind. And then the design process for the new projection series starts very early with me making a conceptual design. So it's never very far out of my mind.
Well, the Ring Cycle refers to an actual ring, a kind of ring you put on your finger.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Would you explain that?
The Ring of Power. It kind of echoes Tolkien's idea of the Ring of Power, although Wagner's came first. It is the idea of a stolen ring, and because of its intention behind it, it is passed throughout the cycle between multiple different people. And pretty much everyone who touches it dies at some point along the way. In its journey, it also takes the people that are wearing it on a separate journey for their life. Brunhilde's journey with the ring is extraordinary because instead of being a ring of power, it is in the format of a ring of love. Although she understands the history of the ring because of her knowledge of the ring, it is an emblem for something that is a gift that is beyond her understanding. And yet at the end, she recognizes its need to go back to its home and to be destroyed in order to move on and become something new.
Well, Clay, you sing the role of Siegfried. What's your relationship to Lexi's character, Brunhilde?
Well, she's my aunt that I'm in love with. I don't know she's my aunt. I don't know she's a woman. I've never seen a woman in my life until the end of my first opera, which is the title role of the third opera.
What do you mean you've never seen a woman in your life?
I haven't. I mean, I've lived in the woods. I've been raised by a surrogate father who's a dwarf who knows the backstory of the ring and wants his hands on it badly. The problem is he's just a little dwarf guy, and he knows that he must fight a dragon in order to get the gold back, to get the ring back and the magic helmet that's also a part of the tale. The fearsome dragon Fafnir has both of these items. And Mime, spelled Mime, M-I-M-E, but pronounced Mime, he raises Siegfried. Yeah, in the woods. Siegfried is just the typical sort of country boy, just raised in the woodlands. I mean, his best friends through life were animals that he communicates with and all this kind of stuff. And so really, he's never seen another human being until... I must imagine he's met men before, because he's not all that surprised when he sees the Vondur. I mean, he's not overwhelmed when he runs into the Votan, the god of all the gods at some point. And he's not all that surprised. I mean, he's a little surprised to see somebody. But he's definitely never seen a woman. As a matter of fact, the biggest laugh line of the entire four operas is when Brunhilde is sleeping on her rock surrounded by fire. Siegfried's the only person that's brave enough to both kill the dragon, claim the ring and the gold and all that kind of stuff, and then make it up to the mountain. He sees her sleeping, thinks that, I mean, he vaguely gets an idea that looks like kind of a human, I guess. And then he starts feeling around, as it were, on her physique. And he says the great line, "Das ist kein Mann." This is no man.
And it's rather obvious that I am most definitely quite, not a man.
And yes, that's right, yes. The sopranos that play Brunhilde are very, very definitely women. Very definitely. But my relationship with her is, according to the backstory, we are blood related, but he doesn't know that.
Well, Brunhilde, do you know that?
I do know that because I name him.
I think the most important thing for this opera is that he falls immediately and deeply in love with her when he goes to the rock, kisses Brunhilde, and wakes her up from an enchanted sleep that her father Wotan has cast upon her. So when we see them at the beginning of Götterdämmerung, they've been on the rock together as a couple and have been living a loving relationship.
So the ring in this last opera is a ring that you two share?
Initially.
I hand the ring off. The ring means nothing to me. The ring is just okay, back to Mime. Mime raises me to be big and strong. Mime raises me to be big and strong so I can kill the dragon. Okay, so I go do so. Mime comes back thinking he's going to poison me and kill me and take the thing that I've just gotten from the dragon. I become wise to his schemes, kill him before he can kill me. But the ring never means anything to me until I... at the very end of the show, or excuse me, at the very opening of Götterdämmerung, hand it off as a token of our, I look at it and I'm like, okay, well, this does represent some accomplishments in my life, and I want you to hold on to it as a token of my trust and love.
Well, we have part of a duet that your two characters sing to one another. Would you set that up?
Well, it is part of the farewell. After our time together on the rock, we have spent this moment, what feels like a moment in time, but it's really been quite some time. There's this enchantment aspect of the rock, and you have a kind of an ethereal feel. And it is time for Siegfried to go back to his heroic ways, as it were. And it is me sending him off into the world again and saying, come back to me soon, and hail to you, and hail to our love.
And we're talking about Union Avenue Opera's production of Götterdämmerung, the final opera in the Jonathan Dove adaptation of Wagner's Ring Cycle. We're talking to soprano Alexi Lobianco, tenor Clay Hilly, and director Karen Cope Miller. So I guess I have to ask, what do we need to know? And Clay, you made it very obvious earlier that it's a little complicated.
Well, let me answer that question.
So what do we need to know about the first three operas?
Well, this is what I would love to make clear to your listening audience, is that although when you start to talk about the ring cycle, you can get on so many tangents because of all of the interwoven stories, when you come to see one of these operas, it is a self-contained story. So listeners should not be afraid to enter into this experience with the last opera, because Wagner does a very good job in keeping it self-contained and explaining within the course of the drama anything that you need to know in order to understand this particular story. So it's all taken care of. You won't be lost. Knowing something that goes before may deepen the experience, but it's not actually necessary to enjoy the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Götterdämmerung, how does it all then come together?
Oh, boy.
Well, first off, it's nothing like starting an opera with a high C, pretty much, and within the first four pages of an opera. It is a culmination of all the stories and of basically, ultimately, of Brunhilde's journey. Mm-hmm. And how she has gone from being God to being human, going through the emotional truth that is being of being a human. There's nothing quite like the roller coaster of human emotions, and she goes through it so quickly, through them all, from absolute joy and love and safety and feeling secure and who she is and the love that she has, to being completely betrayed, completely thrown into confusion and angst and sorrow and then anger, and not just anger but rage builds, and then but she betrays and she murders, she causes a murder, and then realization of her part and the innocence that is there, and finally recognizing that because of the journey of the ring and because of Wotan, what Wotan set up in motion in Das Rheingold of what he did, she is now the catalyst for the final reconciliation of both God and human world forward.
And is it safe to say that we wouldn't want to reveal too much about the conclusion?
That is safe to say. I would say that the story that we've been trying to highlight through the whole course of The Ring, of Wotan and Brunhilde's relationship, and then how that gets integrated with Siegfried in the third opera, comes to a conclusion, and that there is a moment of understanding, as Lexi was saying, towards the end, even though Wotan is not actually in this last opera. She is able to fulfill his ultimate wishes as well as her own in the concluding moments of the opera.
There's a video element. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we've used projections as the primary scenic element over the course of the last 4 years, and developed a design that highlights the musical themes or leitmotifs throughout all four operas and creates a visual symbol for some of the characters, some of the actions, some of the key moments in all four of the operas. And the musical language of Götterdämmerung draws on everything that's come before it. And so we've used all of those images and are able to introduce new audiences to some of these within the course of the story, so that the ultimate juxtaposition and interweaving of the musical and the dramatic themes are given a visual life as well.
Union Avenue Opera presents Wagner's Götterdämmerung. It opens tonight with performances tonight and tomorrow night, and next Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. at Union Avenue Christian Church. If you'd like more information about that, go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape, and we'll have a link and everything that you need to know. And we should say that Union Avenue Opera is known for singing or for presenting operas in their original language, so this will be sung in German with projected super titles.
Right.
Right. And maybe you want to say something about the orchestra, because It's a full orchestra.
It's a full orchestra. It's not a 100-piece orchestra like you would expect in a large theater, but it's a full orchestra, and with a really brilliant reduction that allows us to do this wonderful cycle in a small space.
And just in conclusion, Lexi, your career actually started here with Union Avenue, did it not?
It did. My very first production was in 2009 in Il Trovatore, and I had taken some time off, and that was the beginning of a very quick journey that's led to a very busy last year.
And Clay, you're originally from Georgia. Your career began there.
Indeed.
My career began, yes, doing things with the Atlanta Opera initially and some small theaters around the Atlanta area. And it's just, branched out over the last 10 years or so. And we're just, we're looking to be onward and upward as quickly as possible.
And Karen, you've been all over the place, but I guess most recently at Oklahoma City University.
Yep.
You currently are.
I'm on faculty there. My career started at the Minnesota Opera up north.
Well, thank you for all coming by. We look forward to this. It's the conclusion of Wagner's Ring Cycle at Union Avenue Opera. Thanks so much, Alexandra Lobianco, Clay Hilly, and Karen Cove Miller. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Coming up next on Cityscape, Once Upon a Time in St. Louis. This is St. Louis Public Radio.